Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Judges, Judges chapter 4, and also from the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. We'll start this morning in Judges 4, and you can find the scripture reading on the back of your outlines as well, in case you not have your Bible with you today. We'll be reading from Judges 4, and we'll be reading the entire chapter, verses 1 through 24, and then from Hebrews 11, verse 32 as well. Let's pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy and infallible and inerrant word from Judges 4. And the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died. The Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Haggaim. Then the people of Israel cried to the Lord for help, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and he oppressed the people of Israel cruelly for 20 years. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Libadoth, was judging Israel at that time. She used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. The people of Israel came up to her for judgment. She sent and summoned Barak, the son of Abinoam, from Kadesh Naphtali, and said to him, "Has not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you? Go, gather your men at Mount Tabor, taking 10,000 from the people of Naphtali and the people of Zebulun. And I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the river Kishon with his chariots and his troops. And I will give him into your hand." Barak said to her, "If you will go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." And she said, "I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the road on which you are going will not lead to your glory, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called out Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and 10,000 men went up at his heels. Deborah went up with him. Now Heber the Kenite had separated from the Kenites, the descendants of Hobdab, the father-in-law of Moses, and had pitched his tent as far away as the oak at Zananim, which is near Kadesh. When Sisera was told that Barak the son of Abinoam had gone up to Mount Tabor, Sisera sent out all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the men who were with him from Harosheth Haggaim to the river Kishon. And Deborah said to Barak, "Up, for this is the day in which the Lord has given Sisera into your hand. Does not the Lord go out before you?" So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. And the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army before Barak by the edge of the sword. And Sisera got down from his chariot and fled away on foot. And Barak pursued the chariots and the army to Harosheth Haggaim, and all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not a man was left. But Sisera fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, for there was peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber the Kenite. And Jael came out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Turn aside, my lord. Turn aside to me. Do not be afraid." He turned aside to her into the tent, and she covered him with a rug. And he said to her, "Please, give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty." So she opened a skin of milk and gave him a drink and covered him. And he said to her, "Stand at the opening of the tent, and if any man comes and asks you, 'Is anyone here?' say no." But Jael, the wife of Heber, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand. Then she went softly to him and drove the peg into his temple until it went down into the ground, while he was lying fast asleep from weariness, so he died. And behold, as Barak was pursuing Sisera, Jael went out to meet him and said to him, "Come, and I will show you the man whom you are seeking." So he went into her tent, and there lay Sisera dead, with the tent peg in his temple. So on that day, God subdued Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the people of Israel. The hand of the people of Israel pressed harder and harder against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they destroyed Jabin, the king of Canaan. Then also as well, from Hebrews chapter 11, that's the chapter on the halls of faith, verse 32. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, Samuel, and the prophets. Thus the reading of God's word this morning from Judges 4 and Hebrews 11. I encourage you today as well to follow along on your outlines today. Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus, as I read the scripture reading this morning, you may have thought to yourself, what an unusual passage to use for a Mother's Day sermon. On a day that we have set aside each year to honor the moms that God has given us, we read of an Old Testament battle in the time of the judges that ends with a woman, Jael, taking a tent peg and nailing it through the head of an enemy general while he's asleep in her tent. But if you listen carefully to this sermon message this morning, what you will find in our text is really a beautiful picture, a picture of men and women giving thanks to the God for their service unto him. And we also find a message that many men and children will testify to on Mother's Day. And that is how God can use a godly woman, like a mom, to inspire them to be faithful to the Lord in the roles that God has given him as they serve him. Now keep in mind this morning as we begin that this passage has often been misused in the history of the church. To some, this passage concerning Deborah is an example of how God used a godly woman like Deborah to show up a faithless man like Barak. And in the midst of a culture in which many men are not living up to their responsibilities, a message like that often is used from this text to call praise to the godly women of our day who, like Deborah, have risen up to save their families and the church by taking over the men's responsibilities that the men are failing to do in leading their families or in serving in the offices even of the church. But that's not the message of this text this morning. If that was the message of this text, why then would Barak's name be included in Hebrews 11 in the halls of faith and not the name Deborah? Barak's name is included along with the names such as Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. In the verse cited, you see him listed with David and Samuel and Samson and Gideon and many, many others throughout the chapter. In Hebrews 11, he is considered one of the heroes in the halls of faith, not as someone who failed in terms of his responsibilities. And so, as we look at our passage, we must seek to understand, well, what then is the main point? What is God's purpose in this chapter that we should see in terms of God's plan and God's work in the lives of his people? Well, as we look at the structure of this particular story, we can see that the structure shows us that there is a clear point that God is making at the end. Quite often, typically in a Hebrew narrative, we will find that God concludes the narrative with like a summary point to help us know and understand at the very end the point that God wants us to know. The structure of our passage is designed in such a way that the first three verses give us background information and introduction to the scene. In verses 4 through 22, we have the story of the battle. And then in the last two verses, we come to the summary statement, the point that God wants us to know in these verses. And that is, in verse 23, so on that day, God subdued Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the people of Israel. And the hand of the people of Israel pressed harder and harder against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they destroyed Jabin, the king of Canaan. So at the end of this particular passage, the point of the story is not that Barak failed to do his job and Deborah did the right thing to take over. The point of the story is not that men are sometimes irresponsible and women need to stand up and save the day. But the point of the story is that God saved his people Israel. And how did God save his people Israel? God saved his people Israel through faithful Barak and a faithful woman, Deborah, both serving the Lord together in the respective roles that God gave to them. And what an important role that Deborah plays. God raises her up to support Barak and encourage him in serving God together so that God would use him to faithfully serve in his role to deliver his people, Israel. Well, let's look again at the setting of our text. As the story begins, you recognize in the first three verses that Israel, verse 1, once again has done evil in the sight of the Lord. The Lord then responds by selling them, verse 2, into the hand of Jabin, a king of Canaan. At this point in Israelite history, we're reminded that the Israelites have entered into the land of Canaan, that God has given them the promised land for them to live in, and now a king of Canaan has brought them into slavery and oppression. In verse 3, we're told the reason why they have been given and sold into that slavery. It is because of the superior weapons that Jabin has. He has 900 chariots of iron, and Israel has none. 900 iron chariots, 900 weapons that the Israelites do not have, and they cannot deal with this king in such a way as to put him off in terms of his oppression because of the power of those 900 chariots of iron that they have no weapons to fight against. Well, in response to this oppression, the people, we're told, have cried out, verse 3. They're crying out to the Lord for the Lord's deliverance. And in verse 4, then, we read of Deborah. Deborah, we're told, is a prophetess. We're told that she's judging Israel. This is the time of the judges. They have no king, and she is serving as a judge, a godly prophetess, who is there to offer counsel and direction from the Lord. We're told in verse 5, she sits under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the people of Israel are coming up to her for judgment. But in verses 6 and 7, we're told that Deborah summons Barak. Notice verse 6. She sent and summoned Barak, the son of Abiram, from Kadesh Naphtali, and said to him, "Has not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you?" Now notice the wording that we find. Deborah is not communicating the Lord's command as if the Lord is speaking through her to Barak. Instead, what Deborah is doing is reminding him of what the Lord has already commanded him to do. And what has the Lord commanded him to do? Deborah tells us, "Go gather your men at Mount Tabor, taking 10,000 from the people of Naphtali and the people of Zebulun, and I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the river Kishon with his chariots and his troops, and I will give him into your hand." Now for Barak, from an earthly perspective, this is not a good plan. He is told to take 10,000 people. Now notice it isn't troops because Israel doesn't have a king and they don't have an army. These are 10,000 people, most likely men, up onto a mountain. And God is telling him that if you go up Mount Tabor, I will draw out Sisera and his 900 chariots, and they'll be drawn out onto the plain. The plain of the Kishon River was a dry plain, a flood plain. It was a winding river with a large plain, an excellent area for people with iron chariots to maneuver and to work around. The way this plan is set up is such that Israel and the 10,000 troops and Barak will be stuck up on this mountain, forced to fight on the plain with strength of the iron chariots, and this is set up in Barak's earthly eyes as a slaughter. So Barak has a request in verse 8. His request is, if you will go with me, Deborah, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the road on which you are going will not lead to your glory, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. Now, to some people, when they read this text, it sounds like a weakness in Barak. It sounds like Barak does not dare to do this on his own, that he needs the woman Deborah to help him and to rescue him from this circumstance. But that's not necessarily what Barak is doing at all. He sees the state of the nation of Israel. They are in spiritual decline. Deborah the prophetess is one who has reminded him of the message and the command that God had given him. He knows that the only way this enemy will be conquered is by the hand of God. He cannot defeat the iron chariots on his own, and he knows that the plan that God has given him is setting the people up for a slaughter. And yet, when Barak requests that Deborah goes with him, he doesn't ask her to lead the army. He doesn't ask her to summon the army. He does that in verse 10. The end of verse 10 tells us that Barak called out to the men, and the men went up at his hands, and Deborah went with him. Barak's role is to do the job that God has given him. But he wants her to come along, because in Israel, as a prophetess, at that time, she represents God. She trusts in God's deliverance. In the midst of the circumstances, in the midst of what seems impossible, she trusts and has faith that God will deliver his people. And Barak wants her to go along, expressing her faith and encouragement as he leads the people to war. And so in verse 12, when Sisera is told that Barak has gone with his 10,000 men up Mount Tabor, in verse 13, he does exactly what God has said. He goes out with his 900 chariots of iron, and they go out in the plain of the river Kishon. And so in verse 14, it seems that they're trapped. But we're told that Deborah, upon seeing it, and Barak up on Mount Tabor, says, up, for this is the day in which the Lord has given Sisera into your hand. Does not the Lord go out before you? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. The Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots, and all his army before Barak by the edge of the sword. And Sisera got down from his chariot and fled away on foot. Well, what happens in this battle? Clearly, Israel has won. We're told that God has delivered them from the hand of the iron chariots and from Sisera. But why does Sisera get down from his chariot and run from the battle? In the song of victory that follows in chapter 5, we're given further details of how the Lord blessed Israel with victory. In verse 4 of chapter 5, we're told, Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the region of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens dropped. Yes, the clouds dropped water. In verse 21 of the song that follows in chapter 5, we're told, verse 21, the torrent Kishon swept them away. The ancient torrent, the torrent Kishon, march on my soul with might. You see, what God did to save his people, he sent a thunderstorm, a rainstorm upon Sisera and his 900 chariots. In this Kishon River Valley, this winding river went into flood stage, and it flooded the army of Sisera as he went into the plain with his 900 iron chariots. The soil of the valley, even still today, is a clay soil. And when the rains came, the soil softened and the 900 chariot wheels got stuck in the clay. And the Israelites rushed in and attacked them by the sword. The end of verse 16 of chapter 4 tells us that there was not one man left. And God brought Sisera down from his chariot, and he ran. What we have in our text this morning is not a story that God gave victory to Israel because Deborah the woman was faithful and Barak the man was not. What we have in our story this morning is a beautiful picture of how God gave Israel a victory over an enemy through Deborah and Barak, both serving in their roles faithfully before the Lord, trusting in God and his deliverance. Deborah's not trying to take control here. She's not leading the army, but the godly woman Deborah, a prophetess, is there in her faith to encourage Barak to do and fulfill his role and the commands that God has given him. She is not the leader of the army, and she knows it. Barak is the one who summons the men. Barak is the one who goes and leads the fight and the battle. Deborah is there as a support, as an encouragement, in an inspiring role because she believes in the Lord's deliverance, and God uses her to encourage him and inspire him to be faithful in the role that God has given him before the Lord. And by faith, as Barak faces an impossible situation, an impossible battle plan for victory, Barak is commended in the halls of faith, for in the midst of impossible circumstances, he moved ahead in faith, and God gave Israel the victory. That is why we find Barak's name in the halls of faith. For God uses both of them together to save his people. They are the instruments that God uses for their deliverance and salvation. And notice in the song that follows in chapter 5 how the credit of the song of victory is given to both. In some Bibles, the heading of chapter 5 will say, this is the song of Deborah. In the English Standard Version, it's the song of Deborah and Barak. And certainly in the first verse of the song, we're told, is sung by both. Then sang Deborah and Barak on that day. God has credited both of them to this victory. God has worked through both of them as they have served the Lord together in singing this song of victory, the victory of the Lord over the enemy of Israel, the salvation of the Lord that has come to God's people. Barak wants Deborah to come along with him, not because he wants her to do it for him, but because she represents God and she inspires him. And they both believe in God's deliverance. As we think of Mother's Day, we can be reminded throughout the history of the church the important role that moms play before the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, the Apostle Paul speaks of the important role that Timothy's grandmother and mother played in his spiritual life, his spiritual growth, so that he could someday serve the Apostle Paul in faithful service to the Lord. In Romans 16, verse 13, the Apostle Paul credits Rufus, a mother who has been like a mother to him, encouraging him in his faith and in his service unto the Lord, no matter what he would go through. The church father Augustine wrote repeatedly about his godly mother and the prayer she prayed for him, even in times of early rebellion in his life. And yet God used her to impact him so that he could faithfully serve the Lord and the Lord's church. Today is a day that we give thanks to God for our mothers, for the wives and the mothers of our children, for the role that they play in our lives, and especially for those who inspire and encourage us in our service to the Lord, because they believe in God's deliverance for his people, an impossible deliverance from sin that only God can give. But don't forget that last part of our text today, the last part of this story. You notice from our text that Sisera does escape from the battle scene. He runs to the tent of Jael, a woman, a descendant of Moses' brother-in-law, we are told in verse 11. Though they are at peace between their peoples, Jael, the woman, leads him into her tent. He asks for water, and she gives him milk so that he will fall asleep. And then she, the woman, takes the hammer, and she drives the tent peg through his head, through his temple, and into the ground. In the song in chapter 5, verse 24, the singers of the song, Deborah and Barak, sing her praises, verse 24. Most blessed of women be Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, of tent-dwelling women most blessed. He asked for water, and she gave him milk. She brought him curds in a noble's bowl. She sent her hand to the tent peg, and in her right hand to the workman's mallet. She struck Sisera. She crushed his head. She shattered and pierced his temple. The story ends with a woman crushing the head of an enemy of God, an enemy general of God, an enemy general that fought and oppressed God's people. This is an ending which is retrospective and prospective. It is retrospective in that it looks back and it reminds us of God's first promise to Adam and Eve in Genesis 3 that someday the seed of the woman would crush the enemy of God, the seed of the serpent. But it is also an ending that is prospective, looking forward to the time that the seed of the woman would come. When God's Son, Jesus Christ, the fullness of the seed of the woman, would someday come to this world to die on the cross, to pay for the sins of God's people, to deliver them in an impossible situation that only he could save them from. With a perfect Son of God, Son of Man, to die on the cross and to be risen from the dead. In his death and resurrection, God has given you an impossible victory over the enemies of God and the enemies of God's people, so that someday the seed of the woman will someday come back again, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will crush the head of the serpent. God has given you this biblical story of Deborah to remind us how men and women serve the Lord together in those various roles and participate in that victory. Today, we look at this Old Testament text on this side of the death and resurrection of our Savior. We recognize that we too are called to serve the Lord as men and women of God in various roles. And how a godly woman like Deborah can inspire a man like Barak to faithfully fulfill his role before the Lord. And so today, on Mother's Day, all the husbands and the children give thanks to God today for you moms, for your faith in God's deliverance that has come to you and to us in Jesus Christ. For all the encouragement in the Lord that you give to us as you serve as wives and as moms. For times when you summon us and remind us of what the Lord has commanded us and what we should be doing by faith. For the times that you have gone with us to support us in serving Him, sometimes in very, very difficult circumstances. And today, on behalf of the officers of the church, the elders and the deacons, we give thanks to you for all the encouragement you as wives, as moms, give us together as we serve the Lord, participating in the Lord's deliverance that has come to us and the continued battle that is fought for the name of Christ through His church and the proclamation of the gospel for those who continue to come to salvation in Christ and deliverance from sin and from death. Our Savior knows, and we know, that we could not do this without you. We give thanks for you, for God's grace that is at work in your hearts, and for the loving, faithful service you give to the Lord in the roles that God has given you, and thankfulness for your encouragement for our own service in the roles that God has given us. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this passage which reminds us, Lord, of the victory that has come to us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For Lord, in this Old Testament text, we are reminded of our Savior and His coming, of His victory over sin and death, over, Lord, what seemed impossible to those around. Lord, we know is truth, for in His death and resurrection, sin has been washed away. Resurrection life has been given so that death is overcome. And Lord, we as your people today are serving you and your church. And Father, we give thanks that you have blessed us with faithful believers, men and women who faithfully serve you in their respective role. Help us, Lord, to be thankful today for faithful women who recognize the deliverance that you have given them, for their faith and trust in that deliverance, for the encouragement and inspiration they give to all around them, husbands, their children, male and female, whoever it may be, in service unto you. We pray, Lord, that you would help us as believers to respond at times, Lord, to the way that you use them, to remind us, Lord, of what we should be doing in our own roles. Help us, Lord, to serve you in such a way that our Savior is glorified, that people come to know Jesus Christ and His salvation, that, Lord, many of us may be drawn closer to you in greater confidence in you through the way that they assist and serve us this day and always. Grant us this grace. Grant us this blessing. We pray all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.